This message is brief because that video clip was included. That went for about 6 or 7 minutes. So I got a brief message and I've called it The Why. The Why Behind the Red Letter Challenge. And this actually is my thoughts, not so much his thoughts, as to why the Red Letter Challenge would be good for all of us and for Real Life Church today. And so we're going to begin by looking at a very strong statement that Jesus made at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Now I've just got it on the screens there for you. And this is what Jesus said after preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching," this is Jesus speaking, "and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." They're the words of Jesus. And we'll come back to that shortly. I've been a Christian a long time. I first responded to the good news of Jesus Christ in a church service on a Sunday night when I was 6 years old. And a lot of you know that. I was about 8 years old before I truly understood what Jesus had done for me. So I became a Christian when I was young. And then I remember I got filled with the Holy Spirit in a church in Belmont when I was 13 years of age. So I've been a follower of Jesus Christ for more than 50 years. That's half a century. That's a real long time, isn't it, everybody? And you thought, wow, Pastor Dave, you don't even look 50. I know that's what you're thinking. But consequently, when I was trying to add up how many church services I've been in, and obviously I've had to estimate, it actually runs into the thousands, and I've listened to thousands of sermons over the years, really. And in addition to that, as I've grown up through church, I've actually been practically involved in pretty much every aspect of church life. From cleaning the church. That comes as no surprise to anybody. Amen. I actually used to be the church cleaner. I used to get paid $3 an hour to clean the church in Belmont. How about that? From cleaning the church through to helping in the creche. Spent a long time in the creche. Through to running a youth group, and I really enjoyed that. Through to running children's church, I've done that. Through to playing in the church band, I used to be a guitarist and used to play many years ago in a church band. Through to being on the church board, through to pastoring. So you could say I really have done it all, and I've never ever regretted serving in the house of the Lord. I actually think my life has been blessed because I've served in the house of the Lord. And so, and it's also part of our worship to Jesus. So I want you to understand that. I've done it all, but I haven't regretted it. I don't wish I'd done something else. So when my time of pastoring comes to an end, and it will, every one of us has an expiry date, don't we? And then we go to be with Jesus. But when my time of pastoring comes to an end, and you all want someone younger, slimmer, and better looking, the truth is, even if I'm not going to be pastoring in the church, when that day comes, I still fully intend to be involved in the life of our church. Absolutely, of course. Nonetheless, over those years, I've seen all the Christian fads come and go. It's really interesting. Who knows this Christian fads, the latest book and blah, blah, blah. I've seen it all come and go. And I've seen Christian people behave nobly. And I've seen Christian people display extraordinary acts of love and kindness. I'm a big fan of Christians, by the way. I hate it when people are criticizing Christians. I think Christians on the generally are the best people living in Australia today. Absolutely, absolutely. You know, most volunteers in Australia today are Christian people. You know, we are the salt of the earth, and I've seen it time and time again. People behind the scenes, wonderful Christian people just like you. Christians are good, and we help to make the world a better place. But sadly, on some occasions as well, I've seen some Christians also behave badly and cause pain and hurt. Truth is, as you go through life, we can all behave good and sometimes we behave bad too, don't we? You know, we can be hurt and sometimes we cause hurt. That's just how it is. But when it comes to churches and Christian people, I've pretty much seen it all. Very rarely does something happen in church life where I go, wow, that's a surprise, because I've pretty much seen it all. In addition to all of this, I'm an observer of people. I like to watch people. People are my business. And people are fascinating. You're very fascinating. Yeah, you are. Everybody's fascinating. So, over the years, I think just by being in a church, I've developed a skill where I can generally size people up pretty quickly, and I can actually, this is true, I can actually often determine where a person is on their spiritual journey after sometimes just one conversation, or maybe two. You'll be amazed what comes out of people's mouths, and I can quickly assess where you're at. I've got you all figured out. Amen. I know more about you than you realize. We were on the ship Astoria. We went for a five-day cruise, Rochelle and I. That's the only cruise we've ever done. Janice Scott. And they had, you know how they do games? And it's only a small ship. And everybody came together, and they played this game, and you had to form little groups. Michelle and I and Janice were together as a group. And they put staff on the stage. We had three people. Two people would tell a true story about themselves. One person would tell a lie. And the game was, you had to guess who the liar was, round after round after round. Well, we won that easily. Easily. And the reason why is I'm a pastor. I know who's lying, and I... So behave yourselves when you're talking to me. So I'm saying all of this to let you know what I've observed after 50 years of being a Christian. And by the way, I want us to pray for some people at the end. I want to just capture the last few moments and make a moment where we can encounter the Holy Spirit. But after 50 years of being in churches, this is what I've observed. This is what I know about the life of a Christian. When a Christian, or when people choose to follow Jesus, Christian people, and endeavor to obey his teachings, they are fruitful in life. That's what I've observed. And they keep the faith no matter what happens until they breathe their last breath. But when people neglect to follow Jesus and they neglect to obey his teachings, I'm talking about Christian people, they always, with an emphasis on always, they always fall away. That's what I've observed over 50 years of being a Christian. Now, the Christian tradition that I've always been involved within and the tradition of Real Life Church is that we are intentionally evangelical. So that means, in other words, that we're a church that takes the Great Commission seriously. That's the reason why we do missions here. That's why that's important to us. We're keen to let people know the good news about Jesus Christ. And that's what we do as Real Life Church. And we understand from the Bible that people need to be saved. Need to be right with God. Amen. Therefore, we're actually headed somewhere, so stay with me. Therefore, we emphasize the love and mercy of God. We emphasize how Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised on the third day. Yeah, we emphasize those things. We also emphasize that when a person repents of their sins, then Jesus always forgives them and makes them right with God, thus enabling them to have a place in heaven when they die. We emphasize these things. Am I right or am I right? And what I've just described there is really eternity's good news. That's the good news of the gospel. Then because we're like that, in view of that, we often, in a church service, invite people to get right with God. You've heard me do this countless times. I might say something like this. If you want to get right with God today and be forgiven of your sins, then raise your hand right now. And I will pray for you and God will save your soul. Who's heard me say something like that? Yes. Could you just raise your hand right now? Okay, there you go. You've heard me say that. And at Real Life Church, we're very sincere about that. We're sincere about such an appeal. And from time to time, some people actually respond to that. You have some Sundays where people don't respond. You have some Sundays where they do. And why wouldn't they want to respond? After all, who wouldn't want to have their sins forgiven? Who wouldn't want to have a place in heaven when you die? Who wouldn't want a free ticket to heaven when all you have to do is put your hand up, have a nice prayer from a nice man prayed over you? And of course, some people are going to respond. Some people actually respond so much to this amazing offer that they want to get baptized. And that's a good thing. All of this is good. All this is good. And I'm always thrilled when someone receives salvation. I think that's a good Sunday. And I'm always looking for people to get right with God, whether in church or, you know, in the church service or out in a community. And the truth is, every one of us can lead people to Jesus. Everybody's still with me, because I'm going to hit something really hard in a minute. All right. And so what we do here at Real Life Church is done in many churches across Australia. It's not unique to us. There's many evangelical churches. However, it's time for us to take a step back and look at what is actually happening with people and their faith. And perhaps we also need to take a step back and look at our own journey of faith as well. For example, what is happening? What happens, you know, to some people who've said the sinner's prayer, and, you know, you see them saying it and they're weeping and falling to pieces? They come to the front of the church, you bless them, you love on them, and they're really happy about it all. They're happy about the experience. God's touched them. But then you never see them again. What is that? And then you do see, maybe bump into them later, and they're just living the same way they've always lived before, but they got their free ticket to heaven. Amen. Or there are people, nobody here this morning, coming to church, worshipping Jesus, doing the swaying, the lifting of the hands and all of that, really actually having some sort of, something's going on, but they're living their life exactly the same way as everybody else is living their life, the same way they've lived it for years. But I'm still coming to church and still. Just a thought. What I want to point out to us all today at Real Life Church is this. Times have changed. We need to wake up. Times have changed. We must recognize that we live in a post-Christian world where so many people really don't have any idea about God, church, Jesus, and certainly no idea about the Bible. Australia is not a Christian country, and we've got to stop pretending that it is. This is not a Christian country anymore. And so there is great ignorance about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. People are just ignorant. They don't get it. Many people don't know the Bible stories. And even as your pastor, over the years, my preaching has changed, because I can't presume anymore that when I want to allude to some story in the Bible that people even know about that story anymore. I've had to change the way I communicate because there's great ignorance of what the Bible says. People haven't read the Bible. People don't know about the Bible. A lot of people didn't go to children's church or Sunday school, or they never had a scripture teacher. They never had scripture teaching lessons at church. At school, they don't know about these things. And so many people don't grasp the way the Bible explains life. You grasp it, but many other people don't. And then the Christian worldview And the Bible way of thinking is now really completely foreign to many people in our secularized community and nation. People are ignorant about God. And you all know what I'm saying is true. Am I right or am I right? You could say, Pastor Dave, you're right again. I know. But times have changed. That's why when we take a stand against same-sex marriage or abortion or gender reassignment, many people don't understand what we're on about. They don't really get what we're on about. Instead, they're thinking we're being judgmental. And indeed, there are Christians who are judgmental. I know about that. But most Christians are not judgmental. Absolutely not. So, but still, people think that we are judgmental. They think that we're being mean. Christians are just mean. When actually, really, our hearts are, is that we're concerned about the damage it's going to do to people's lives. You see. People don't get it. You cannot presume a person grasps your spiritual explanations of the Bible and of life when you first share the gospel. They might look at you and blink and look like they're getting it, but they most generally don't. For example, when we sincerely say to people, Jesus loves you, and if you repent of your sins against God and give your life to Him, He will have mercy on you and forgive you. And a lot of people do not actually quite understand what that means. You do, I do, they don't. It's like we're speaking some other foreign language. So then what people do is that they interpret what we've said according to their secularized worldview. Here you put it through their secularized filters. Not because they are wicked, not because they hate everybody, not because they're anti-God or hostile, but mostly people do it because that's how they've been conditioned to think. They don't know how to think any differently. And what many people actually think we are saying is this: Jesus loves you so much that He does not expect you to change. He wants you to be true to yourself because He made you the way you are. But if you feel bad about anything you have done, then Jesus will help you with your negative feelings about yourself and everything will be okay. That's what people think we're actually saying. That's what people hear. But that is not the good news about Jesus that is presented in the Bible. That's not the good news. That is a false gospel. That is a false gospel. So there are people attending churches around Australia and they're participating in the wonderful church communities because church is great. Christians are great. Why wouldn't you want to hang out with them? And the services are great. You know, why wouldn't you want to go to a church service? People are doing all of that and they're thinking they're okay with God, but they're not okay with God because they've not really grasped or understood what God is actually offering to them. God is not just offering to make your feelings better. He's offering us the gift of eternal life. You know. And this is... Is everybody still with me? Okay. This is largely because we have emphasized the believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, part of the good news message. And that is so important, so I don't want anybody to get upset with me. You need faith to be born again, amen? Believe and receive, amen? Very, very, very important. But we've emphasized that, but we have neglected to proclaim the significance of daily following the Lord Jesus Christ instead of following our own warped desires. Jesus said so clearly, and it's in red in the Bible, follow me. A person will never make it through those pearly gates of eternity if they don't follow Jesus. You can't make it as a Christian if you don't follow Jesus. You will fall away if you don't follow Jesus. Your house will crash if you don't follow Jesus. I remind you all that the good news about Jesus is twofold. We firstly repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins so we can be reconciled unto God. We cannot save ourselves, but Jesus sets us free. He's done it all. Amen? But secondly, we must follow the Lord Jesus Christ by obeying His teachings so we can become like Him and so our lives will not collapse under the storms of life. This has to be said. The gospel is believe and follow. Not just believe or just follow by itself. The gospel is believe and follow. I'm saying again, because I don't want anybody to miss this. I want to see you all make it through those pearly gates. Come on, everybody in this room. You've got to be saved. And you get saved by believing and following. Believing and following. Believing. Who are you following? You've got to follow Jesus. And those two parts of the good news of Jesus Christ, they actually are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. An authentic Christian is a person who believes in Jesus and what He has done and who also follows Jesus with all their heart and obeys teachings. Absolutely. And many have decided to believe in Jesus. Many receive His mercy. That's what's been happening. People, yeah, cool, great, yeah, wonderful. Many respond to a free ticket of heaven. Wow, got that in the bank. Oh, everything's great, you know. And why wouldn't you want to do that? But then many dishonor Jesus by not following Him because they want to follow their own desires. And that's where everything goes pear-shaped. And people shipwreck their faith. However, Jesus made this sobering statement. Here's another one. And I know this is tough, but we need to look at these things. Amen? It says, not everyone, Jesus said this, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Seriously? Yeah, seriously, that's what He said. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in Your name and cast out demons in Your name and performed many miracles in Your name. But Jesus says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. I don't want that to happen to you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Follow Jesus instead. You don't want Jesus to say, oh, I don't even know who you are. Oh, I got prayed for at the front of Real Life Church. I still don't know who you are. Oh, I went to church. I went there a few times. Jesus, I didn't know you. No, don't do that. Know Jesus. Follow Jesus. Amen. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that. This bothers me. I like all the happy scriptures, but that's in there too. This bothers me, and I don't want that to happen to me. Absolutely not. I want to follow Jesus. Oh. But times have changed. People don't understand much about God, Jesus, and the Bible. And Australia is kind of like the world the Christians faced in the book of Acts, as they took the gospel to the nation. So this is not a unique situation. We can rise up and do something about things that are happening in Australia. Amen? But in view of everything that's been said, I'm nearly finished, is this. In addition to our explanations of the good news of Jesus, Australia needs Christians who will be their friends. Australia needs Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And Australia needs Christians who delight in living as Jesus has taught us how to live. That's what Australia needs. You know, not this plasticky, namby-pamby sort of Christians. The real deal kind of Christians who follow Jesus. Remember, more storms are coming to people's lives. The next few years ahead of us are going to be really tough. Really tough. It's tough already. Already people's lives are crumbling. Families are crumbling. And people don't know what to do. Where can they go? Where can they go? People are confused. People are afraid. And storms are going to come to Christians too. But those who choose to listen to Jesus and obey His teachings will withstand the storms of life. And they will overcome. And our house, will not collapse. And people will see that. People will see that God is with His people, and they will see that there is a refuge for them to run to. Amen. So obeying Jesus is not only good for you and good for me, but obeying Jesus and following his teachings shows other people that there is hope for them too, if they would follow Jesus. It's got to be more than just about our words. Those days are past. It's time for us to start living like Christians. Hence the red letter challenge for us at Real Life Church. And these next 40 days are a starting point, a reference point, a starting point for us to get back to being the disciples that Jesus called us to be. There's no room anymore for fake Christians. It's the real deal. We're not only going to be talking about Jesus, we're going to relearn how to live for Jesus Christ. So I just implore you all, encourage you all, let's take this journey on as a great adventure and see where it takes us. And so I declare, let the red letter challenge begin. Amen. 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 Amen.